Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Hardwood Handicappers. This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with a Black Friday edition of the show. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. As I mentioned, it is Black Friday today. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving yesterday. Hope everybody got some good food in their belly. Hope everybody enjoyed the football, enjoyed the college basketball. I certainly did. But now that it is Black Friday, it's a great time to mention that this is the best time of the year to sign up for a VSiN Pro subscription for only $60. Through May 1st, you get everything that we have to offer, whether that's the picks on the website, the articles on the website, all of our content that is available on our live shows. You can watch that on YouTube TV. You can watch that on, you know, on our website at vsin.com/watch. We have everything available for you, and it is a great price right now. Also a great time if you think about the timing of through May 1st. You get everything. You get the Super Bowl. You get March Madness. You get a lot of really good, you know, content from us during very important times on the sports calendar. And I mentioned it last show, but all of my tennis stuff will be available, and you'll get a lot of that through May 1st. So if you enjoy tennis as well, I will have you covered there. But I want to get back into basketball. I want to get back into the NBA. We have a lot going on right now. Tonight is the NBA Cup. We will have a lot of groups decided tonight, and you know, some of the knockout stuff will be figured out as well. So a very, very exciting time. But before we get into tonight's slate, let's talk a little bit about what we saw Wednesday. We did see the Pistons see that 13-game winning streak snapped in Boston, a game that Detroit definitely could have won. Cade Cunningham baited Boston into a foul on a three towards the end of the game, but he ended up missing one of those three free throws, and that ultimately ended with the Celtics winning that game. But you know, the Pistons still put up a really good fight in the loss. It wasn't like they rolled over, so very impressive performance of both teams. And Boston has been actually pretty fun to watch this season. I think we're seeing some of those young guys emerge, and I think Jordan Walsh has been one of the ones that I've been, you know, having fun watching. Definitely not the greatest offensive player in the world, but very, very good defensively, and I think they're going to kind of figure some things out with this roster as they kind of wait for Jason Tatum to get back from that torn Achilles, but they'll be in good shape once he does. Other takeaways for me, Tyler Hero at 29 points in his second game back, 9 for 15 shooting, 7 assists, was also a plus 4 in a 3-point win, and was the only player in the starting five with a positive plus minus in the game. He has looked very, very good since returning. He has not really looked like a guy that, you know, is coming off a lengthy injury. So to see him not really rusty is big, because obviously Miami is one of the stories of the early season with the fast pace that they're playing at, the new offensive system. This is always a team that you could really count on to be borderline top 10 defensively. But now that the offense is clicking, very interesting team to monitor over the next couple of weeks. So I'm very excited to see that Hero's playing well. And I would like to kind of get a few more games under the belt, especially some big ones. If Miami can play close against some of the top teams of the Eastern Conference, they're going to feel really confident come the postseason about knocking off those teams in a best of seven setting. Another game, just to quickly mention, shorthanded Rockets going to Golden State to beat the Warriors. That game ended up preventing a really, really big night for the podcast. Had a big play on Golden State money line in that one. I really thought they'd pull it out, but the Rockets, they just don't go away. That's part of the reason that I really like this team in terms of big picture. I just think that Houston's floor is so high. They compete every single night. Very, very good defensively. And then offensively, they are way better than they were last season. Obviously, having Kevin Durant helps. Durant wasn't out there in that game. But the way that this team competes defensively means that they're going to be playing close games pretty much every single night. Now that they have the offense to kind of get over the finish line, that is what makes this team special. Last thing I wanted to mention, and this is kind of a hat tip to Drew Dinsick from NBC Sports, who goes on a numbers game with Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, and Kelly's now on the train as well. Austin Reeves to win most improved player at 35-1 is something that is very intriguing at this point in the season. I think that when you look at Reeves, you assume he's going to play a lot worse with LeBron James back in the mix, but he has now played 3 games with both Luka and LeBron, averaging 26.3 points per game in those 3 games. And last game, he had 31 points. That is not far off his seasonal average of like, what, 27 points per game. So this is a guy that has now jumped from 20.2 points per game last season to 27.9 points per game this season. Even if he does fall to 26, that's a sizable jump. And he's averaging 7 assists per game this year, up from 5.8 last year. And just overall, he's the 6th best player in the NBA, according to estimated plus minus, which is now available fully at Dunks and Threes. They had the estimated stuff, the projections for the entire season up until a couple of days ago. Now they actually have the actual estimated plus minus up. And I believe that that is the best catch-all metric in all of the NBA. So if you like to kind of see how players are doing from an advanced stats perspective, that is definitely a place to go, dunksandthrees.com. And also Reeves, 97th percentile on offensive EPM this season. Just a guy that has made the leap from very, very good starter, borderline all-star, to now playing like an all-star. And that is the type of player that does tend to win this award. So I think at 35-1, it's a good price. I understand that Jalen Duren and Josh Giddey have made the better cases in terms of guys that kind of made the leap into that category of being borderline all-stars from not being there before. But I think that Reeves is worth a shot, especially if the Lakers continue to win that they are. That is such a big brand that everyone's going to be looking for ways to kind of give those players flowers. I think that Reeves is a player that could get them. All right, let's move into tonight's slate. It is a big one. I'm going to be skipping a few games as I always do. The ones that I'm not going to hit on, 76ers Nets, Wizards Pacers, and Grizzlies Clippers. Those first two games don't matter in terms of the NBA Cup. That last one might. It depends on what we see out of the rest of the Western Conference teams. Grizzlies and Clippers would both need to win, and I think they would both need to win by margin. And I actually think that actually only applies to Memphis. I will quickly check here, but it's still a game that I just don't have a great read on. Like I said, both teams 2-1. Memphis plus 9-point differential, Clippers minus 15. Unless the Clippers win by like 40, they don't really have a shot. But the Grizzlies have an outside shot of getting to the knockout stage with one of the wild cards. So not a meaningless game, but a game that I really don't have a read on, and I don't really want to talk about it. Maybe I'll have some player props up at VSiN.com later. I always look back at these three games, even though I'm skipping them, and I will definitely take a look and just see if there's any value to be had in all of them, but nothing for me right now. So I'm starting with the Cavaliers against the Hawks. This is a game where the Hawks are 6.5-point underdogs. Total's 236.5. The Cavaliers are 2-1 in East Group A. Point differential's plus 33. The Raptors actually already clinched this group, so the Cavaliers cannot win the group. But Cleveland could definitely make the knockout rounds with a convincing win. I mean, Orlando's in really good shape if you're talking about the wild card team in the East, because they have a massive point differential right now. I'll get that exact number, plus 61. So unless they lose to Detroit tonight by like 20 points, like, they are in very, very good shape. And unless Cleveland wins by 20-30, they're probably looking at being out here. But that is why you are seeing the Cavaliers as such a big favorite in this game, as whether it's 5.5 or 6.5, you're seeing different prices everywhere. But this is a game that our VSiN analytics expert, Steve Mackinnon, actually had Atlanta minus 3.6 on the estimated spread. So this game where we see the wrong team favored in a way, and they are actually favored big, it's because the Cavaliers need to win by margin for the NBA Cup purposes. I don't really have anything in terms of sides and totals. It is a little bit weird for me seeing the NBA Cup being weighed so heavily into a single game. The Cavaliers are still missing Sam Merrill, still missing Max Strus, and they do have Dean Wade and Craig Porter Jr. questionable, two players that can contribute on any given night. So I don't really trust Cleveland laying the points, especially with Atlanta being, you know, kind of on par with them based on what we've seen this season. But I am playing on Onyeka Okongwu over 13.5 points at plus 100 in this game. Okongwu has had at least 15 points in 7 consecutive games, so has been going actually well over this number. He's actually a player that has been, you know, just lighting it up from three lately. I mentioned it on the show with Kelly Bidlin last week when I was talking about most improved player. He's not really going to have a shot to win. There's just too many players that are doing too well, but Okongwu is now shooting 41.4% from three on 4.8 attempts per game. In November, he's actually upped that to 5.5 attempts per game, shooting 42.4% from three. He just out of nowhere has turned into a stretch big, a player that is sky high in confidence at the moment. And I do think the Cavaliers presents a pretty good matchup for him because they're 27th in the NBA at guarding spot up opportunities. I think that there will be good looks for Okongwu, especially with some of the big men that Cleveland has wanting to be around the basket to protect the rim. And then I will add, Okongwu is a player that's pretty good on the offensive glass. He moves very well for a big man, so he's always a threat in transition. So I don't think it's just going to be the threes here. I think that there will be some opportunities for him to kind of finish at the rim. And I just think the 14-plus points is very, very reasonable for him in a matchup that, you know, might end up being a little bit higher in scoring than you'd expect. Next game, Bulls at Hornets, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a game that no longer has NBA Cup implications. Both teams have been eliminated. Talking about it because I do like Charlotte in this game at plus 120 on the money line. I just think Chicago's injury report is crazy loaded at the moment. Kevin Huerter, Isaac Okoro, Nikola Vucevic, Kobe White, Patrick Williams, all five of those guys are listed as questionable here. All of those players contribute to the Bulls on a nightly basis. So if any combination of them ends up missing this game, you're talking about a Bulls team that is missing some contributors. I think the Hornets are a better team than we've seen throughout the course of the season, and they are coming off a really, really bad loss to New York, just a complete blowout in Charlotte. I think that they're going to want to get back in the win column. I think we're going to see a much better effort out of them, and I'll add that Charlotte is 6-4 straight up under Charles Lee, their head coach, when playing at home in a game with a line of +3 to -3. So when this team is expected to be in a close game at home, that is when they have a winning record. This is a team that has been really bad the last couple of years. That trend suggests a lot about how they've played only 10 games in which they've been in games where there's been a +3 to -3 spread at home. That is crazy, but they are, you know, pretty reliable in those spots. And Chicago is just 22-44 straight up under Billy Donovan when facing teams that out-rebound opponents by 3 or more rebounds per game. So they can be a little soft inside. The Hornets have been rebounding pretty well this year. I think Charlotte gets the job done at home. I love the plus money odds there. Next game, one of the biggest games of the night, Magic at Pistons, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This is going to be a very exciting game. The winner of this game wins East Group B and makes the knockout stages. But like I said before, Orlando +61 point differential at the moment. If they lose this game, they really should still get in. They just need to avoid embarrassment in order to do so. So I think that Orlando is a team that I'd be looking at personally on like an adjusted point total, adjusted point spread tonight. And I will be doing that this evening. I'm going to take the Magic +7.5 in a parlay with the Lakers money line. I'll talk a little bit about that game later, but I do think that Orlando has what it takes to keep this game close. I actually like Orlando on a lean to the +3.5 normal spread. I just think that the Pistons, for as good as they've been over this recent stretch, 13 straight games before losing that game to the Celtics, you break things down to over the last 10 games, they actually have a worse net rating than the Magic in that recent stretch. Magic are +9.7 over the last 10, Pistons +7.8. And I do think that even though Orlando's without Paolo Banchero, this is a team that's just connected right now on both ends of the floor. They always play well when they have Franz Wagner as their number one option. And then defensively, they might even be better without Banchero because there's more minutes for guys like Jonathan Isaac, who like are elite defenders, to play a little bit more. Banchero is a great, great offensive player, but someone that needs the ball offensively, the ball can stick in his hands. It could kind of muddy things up a little bit on that end of the floor. And then also Banchero is a pretty weak defender, especially for a guy his size with his athleticism. So I don't think Orlando's hurting too much without him. And I do think that with the Magic having been beaten down by the Pistons in Detroit earlier in the year, this is a really good revenge spot as well. And under Jamal Mosley, the Magic are 11-4 straight up, 9-6 against the spread when facing a team that they lost to as a road favorite earlier in the year. So a pretty good bounce back spot. Also, the Pistons 9-10 straight up, 7-12 against the spread under JB Bickerstaff as home favorites of 6 or fewer. So a few trends to keep an eye on. And then just also a Magic team that I think is playing some of the best ball of anybody in the Eastern Conference at the moment. Let's go move on now to Bucks at Knicks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. I'll start off right away by saying this is another really difficult game to call. I mentioned it last podcast on Wednesday that, you know, not having Giannis Antetokounmpo as a firm player in that lineup makes Milwaukee very difficult to bet on. He was questionable last game, did not play. He's on the injury report again tonight. If he does not play, it's a game that New York probably blows them out. This is a Knicks team that will win East Group C with a win. There's a lot of incentive for New York to go out there and win this game. And I do think that they will do that at Madison Square Garden, especially with Milwaukee having defeated New York at Fiserv Forum earlier in the year in a game that was really good, really competitive. But I think the Knicks kind of get their lick back. If Giannis is out there, though, I do think that the points are interesting. But I do think this is a game where if Giannis doesn't play, you want to look to Ryan Rollins again. Over on his points and assists, he has been just tearing it up lately. When Giannis doesn't play, he's pretty much a guaranteed 30 in that regard every single night. And the Knicks are a pretty good matchup for him. They are bottom 10 team in the league this season at a guarding above the break threes. Rollins does a lot of his work from there when he's talking about, knocking down three-point shots. He takes a lot of them from the top of the key. Also a very good driver. He can finish at the rim at will. So I think that he has a big game if Giannis doesn't play. But this is a game to stay away from at the moment. But I do think New York may be worth some looks and parlays as a money line play, even if Giannis does play, just because they've been a lot better than Milwaukee this season. I did mention the revenge angle, but I will say number 3 offense in the league, number 14 defense in the league. Milwaukee, just number 18 on offense, number 18 on defense as well. Just not, kind of up to where the Knicks have been to start the season. And the Knicks kind of have some room for improvement, even with OG Anunoby out. I just think that they're a much better team than the Bucks at the moment. So New York would be a look for me in moneyline parlays once you get the better price if Giannis is back in. Let's move on to Suns Thunder. Another game that will decide the winner of the group. Having said that, this is a game that the Thunder are going to expect to win. OKC is a favorite of, I believe, 15.5. Yes, 15.5 points at some shops. 225.5 is the total. Not only are the Thunder massive, massive favorites in this game and 18-1 on the season, but they are also getting Jalen Williams back, the player that I have referred to as the good J-Dub before on this podcast, because there are two Jalen Williams on the OKC. But man, getting Jalen Williams back and just adding him to what we've already seen from the Thunder is absolutely crazy. I mean, like I said, this team is 18-1. Their net rating this season is plus 10.8. That's a league best mark. Last year, they were plus 11.8. They still have some time to catch up to that mark now that they have an all-star back and potential all-NBA player in Williams, who just a phenomenal, contributor on both ends of the floor. Like, this is going to be a guy that flirts with 25 points per game, also gives them elite defense and more positional versatility, which they don't even really need more of. This team is just unfair. But they also mentioned this defensive rating this season, adjusted defensive rating, 106.8. Just off the mark of last year's historically good defense of 106.7. Just such a good team on both ends of the floor, and they are killing opponents. So getting that player back, it's only going to make things worse for opponents. So I do expect OKC to win this group, and I think that they do beat my Phoenix Suns in convincing fashion. But I do like Colin Gillespie over 12.5 points in this game at minus 105. Gillespie moved into the starting five last game. He is scored now, I believe, 15 plus points in 6 consecutive games. He's had 19 plus in 3 of those games. This is an intimidating matchup for a smaller player, just because the Thunder have so much size, so much length, and so much physicality on the perimeter. But man, I think that Gillespie is like a fearless player. He's a really good shot maker. And I do think that his role in the Suns offense right now, as long as Grayson Allen and Jalen Green are out, is pretty much cemented. So I think this is a pretty good matchup for him, even though it's tough in terms of looking at the defenders on the other side. I just think that Gillespie is going to get a lot of shots up. And, there have been similar players that have had some success against this OKC defense in recent games. I mean, look at Keontae George had 20, Malik Monk 16, Dennis Schroeder at 21, Jeremiah Fears at 24. We have seen some smaller players like Gillespie have some success against this defense, which, as good as it has been, can be a little bit careless defending the three-point line and has not been just as good as last year, not as crisp. So I think Gillespie could score 13+. If you're breaking down usage rates, defensive matchups, and pace, put that analysis to work on better picks. Pick more or less on player points, assists, and rebounds, and track the number in real time. Use code VSINPOD for $10 free, no deposit required, and with 1,000x multipliers, 2 sharp reads can turn into real payouts. Basketball just got better. Download Better and use code VSINPOD, that's BETR, and VSINPOD, VSINPOD. Let's now take a look at Spurs Nuggets. That game tips at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Nuggets 7.5 point favorites, total 237.5. This is a game where the winner wins West Group C. A lot on the line in this one. However, the injury report is disgusting for both of these teams. The Spurs remain without Stephon Castle and Victor Wembanyama. Did get Dylan Harper back last game. That's a step in the right direction. The talented rookie will be out there tonight. But no Christian Brown and no Aaron Gordon for Denver tonight. So you got the Nuggets missing two of their best defensive players. I do not have anything in terms of the side and total of this game. I just think there's too much production missing from both teams to really have a good idea of what's going on. I do think that the Spurs have a chance to beat the Nuggets by playing fast. I just think that if, you know, De'Aaron Fox just kind of pushes the tempo, gets things going in transition a little bit, gets some easy buckets early, I could see San Antonio having some success there. So the slightest of leans on San Antonio +7.5 for me. But the play I do like in this game is Devin Vassell over 15.5 points at -113. This is a guy that's averaging 20 points per game. In the last two games, he's played without Castle and Wembanyama. No Brown and no Gordon, like I just mentioned. Like, that is massive for opposing wings because those are two of the best defenders that Denver has in the lineup. And those are two guys that do primarily guard wings. So I think there's going to be some really good opportunities for some of San Antonio's players to get it going. And Vassell is a good spot-up shooter. There should be some decent spot-up looks to go around against this Nuggets team, which is just 20th in the league at guarding spot-up opportunities this year. And also a team that's 27th at guarding longer mid-range jumpers. Those are not the types of shots you really want your players to be taking, but Vassell does take some of them. He's pretty good at them, and I think that there are going to be some quality looks in that area of the court. So I think that Vassell can score 16-plus in this game. I think he's going to stand out in a game where we don't really know who will, you know, have a lot of success. So that's where I'm looking at Spurs Nuggets. Next game, Kings Jazz, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Jazz favored by 2.5, total 242.5. I'll start by saying this is not a game that I should be talking about. I'm fully aware these are two bad teams, and I like to skip some of those matchups, but I do tend to bet on bad teams sometimes, and I'm betting on a very bad one tonight. I love the Jazz money line, -120, in a game with no NBA Cup implications. I just think that we've seen, you know, a little bit more spirit out of this Kings team over the last week or so, but no Domantas Sabonis. He's out with an injury. This is a very, very weak big man rotation for Sacramento right now. That makes this a much better matchup for Lauri Markkanen, who's going to be the best big player on the floor, but also the best player on the floor in general. I think he's going to light it up in this game. And I also think that the Jazz, you know, with Keontae George playing a little bit better, some of the young guards playing a little bit better, I think that they have the firepower to match that Kings veteran, you know, group of guards that can be explosive on any given night. But I think that the Jazz can match them. And I'll also add that, you know, Utah, while they have a losing record at home this season, just 4-5, and their net rating only -0.1. So pretty much about even. Sacramento on the road this year, 2-8. With a -9.7 net rating. So that's a team that is really struggling on the road. I think that you're talking about a Jazz team that should be much better at home than the Kings are when playing away from home. And I know that Utah's laying 2.5 in this game, but man, I think they should be laying a lot more. I think they should be 4, 4.5 at least. And I think that this is a really good opportunity to grab some money line. Like I just said, -120. This is a play that I'm going to be going much bigger on. And this is also a situation where, you know, I mentioned it before with the Hornets, where they play well, you know, when they're expected to play well at home, because it's not often that they are facing teams that are kind of evenly matched with them and playing in their own home building. But it's a similar situation for Utah, which has been, you know, competitive at home under Will Hardy, who I've mentioned it all the time on this podcast, even going back to when we did this podcast, you know, years ago with me, JVT, and Kelly. But this is a team that's really good under Will Hardy when playing at home, 26-18 straight up, to be exact, when playing as home favorites. So I think they're going to enjoy being the favorites in this game, and I think they're going to win this game somewhat convincingly. And then we will end this slate talking about the Mavericks at the Lakers, 10 p.m. Eastern. This is a game that does not have NBA Cup implications, but you have the Lakers favored by 10.5, totals 230.5. I'm putting the Lakers money line into that parlay I mentioned with the Magic before, because this is a game where it's Luka Doncic going up against his old team, and so far we have seen him play very well against them in the past. I think that Luka's going to light up this defense. I know that the Mavericks have been good defensively this season, and AD is questionable tonight, so that would give them a nice little boost on that end of the floor if he were to play through his calf strain. But I think that Luka lights him up. I don't think there's anybody on that defense that could actually cover him. There's really no one on the planet that can cover him. But and you throw in, you know, Reeves and LeBron, you're talking about a Los Angeles team that just has all of the best shot makers, all of the best playmakers on the floor in this game. And the Lakers are also very good at just kind of being in the right spots defensively. They're not the quickest team. They're not the best team when you're kind of breaking things down individually and looking at their defenders. Like, this is not a team that has a lot of lockdown guys, but, you know, JJ Redick is a good coach and he has these guys in the right spots. That's why they haven't kind of bottomed out defensively, despite having, like I just said, slower players. They've actually been like a league average defense. It's because they defend well in a team setting. And Dallas is one of the worst teams in the league offensively. So I'd be really surprised if the Mavericks, you know, have an efficient game offensively. This is a game that I think Los Angeles wins pretty convincingly. I don't want to lay double digits, but yeah, this is a play that I think that you should use in parlays to get better prices everywhere else that you want better prices. For me, it was Magic on an alternate spread of +7.5. I got a little bit closer to even money by taking the Lakers money line and throwing it in there. So I think Luka lights up his former team, and yeah, that's how I want to play this one. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet. I mentioned it before, but this is your best chance. Our Black Friday special is live, and for just $60, you'll get VSiN Pro access to everything we offer all the way through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, AI-powered prop tools and weekly wide receiver cornerback matchup edges, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, coverage of every major sport through the spring. I mentioned it before, but football to hoops to March Madness, the NFL draft, the Masters, we have it all. Our biggest new subscriber offer of the year is here. Do not wait. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I will say probably all year that we have some good offers, but I am telling you right now, this is the best offer. You got to jump on it. $60 all the way through May 1st. You're getting all of our big events. I really suggest jumping on this while you can. I would love to have you as a VSiN Pro to read all my work. That's for sure. Let's recap some best bets now. We have a lot of them. It is a loaded Friday slate. It starts with Onyeka Okongwu over 13.5 points at +100 against the Cavaliers. Hornets money line +120 versus the Bulls. I have a parlay of Magic alternate spread +7.5 with Lakers money line. That's -123. And I'm going to be playing that to win 1.5 units. I also have Colin Gillespie over 12.5 points, -105 versus the Thunder. Devin Vassell over 15.5 points at -113 versus the Nuggets. And then Jazz money line -120 versus the Kings. That's actually a play that I'm making to win 2 units. So one of my bigger plays of the season. Have not played a lot of 2-unit plays this season, but that is going to be one of them. I think that they should be favored by a lot more at home. So I have those 6 plays right now. I might add some more to the website. Can't promise that because I already did get so much just kind of covered on this podcast. But always head over to VSiN.com when games are about to tip. If you're interested in seeing if I added anything, it will be on the Pro Picks page. I will add it to the bottom of my stories as well. I always do player props. I always do a separate story on sides and totals. So you get 2 daily stories from me at VSiN.com. And then all of the work from Steve Mackinnon, who I mentioned before, just great stuff in terms of, you know, trends, betting insights, betting nuggets every single night, stuff you want to read before making picks that evening. And then you get all the stuff on our shows. The shows are just so fun to watch. I have it on in the background while I'm working literally all day. Like, I love hearing our hosts talk about things. I love hearing the guests. Just a great, you know, just channel. If you love sports betting, there's really nothing like it at the moment. So head over to vsin.com, check out everything we have to offer, and please make sure you come back for the Monday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. We will be wrapping up a lot over the weekend when we talk on Monday again, and there will be a lot more picks to be made. So good luck with your bets tonight, and join us again.